the dawn of civilization. Primitive. Dangerous. Exciting. The handwriting is on the wall. If the human race is ever going to amount to anything, it needs...
the most civilized caveman I have ever seen.
Ah, look, he's come out of his cave.
You're listening to the Knuckle Drags Extravaganza on Zed Digital if you're joining us live, or if you're listening to this at a later date through the power of the internet via Cave Dweller Music. My name is Matt. On the show, we've been playing so many tracks from these guys, and from when they started the singles to when the album came out was such a quick process. These dudes don't fuck around. I've got Dalton, Pete, and Muzz from Iron Witch. Gents, thank you very much for taking out some time and having a chat to us.
Thank you. Yeah, no worries. Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, you guys have all played in bands for years. I remember chatting to Muzz and Dalton ages ago when Malachi was still kicking around. How did Iron Witch come about? Like, what was the genesis for this project?
Well, we basically, after Malachi kind of ended, you know, we had a bit of a break, then I guess we missed jamming together, you know, so we just, you know, after about, what was it, like 8 or 9 months maybe after that, like sort of middle of 2018, we just started jamming again, and I don't know, just all sort of happened, you know. We all gelled really well songwriting wise, you know.
We're all good mates.
We're all good mates. We love playing together and just
Like I said, from Woe to Go, it was a pretty quick turnaround from the first release of the single. Dalton and Pete, you guys mentioned that just then before we started recording that you guys are obviously part of Malignant Aura, vastly different to all the shit with Iron Witch. Was it a case of we missed playing that really fast, thrashy music? Was that sort of where you went, oh, fuck yeah, dude, we're just going to write sick riffs?
Absolutely, yeah. I think that's where Pete and I's strength lie, and just like, you know, yeah, shredding like, it up and blasting, you know.
Yeah, it's fun. Like,
how did you come into the fray of all this?
I just stuck around after Malachite, and it's more the music that I think the three of us wanted to play in Malachite at the end.
So how did you approach the writing for this one here? Because listening to it, yeah, sorry, dude. Sorry for cutting off. This lag's going to kill me, but we'll get there.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, we started writing a few way heavier tracks towards the last maybe 6 months or so of Malachite, and it was in a totally different direction. And I guess, you know, like shit happens with bands, you know. We just sort of had to call Malachite off and have a bit of a break. But we had, you know, a few songs that we really liked the songs, you know, and we liked that sort of direction. So when we picked back up, we had some new stuff to work on, I guess in a heavier sort of direction, more frantic sort of high speed. So I try to make it, I make a concerted effort to write stuff that I find really fun to play. And I like to make it as high energy as possible, you know.
You're like on the cusp of your abilities.
Well, yeah, that's another thing as well. We like really pushing ourselves in terms of speed. And, you know, I've had a few people say it's sort of walks a fine line between being like really raw and frantic and being like kind of almost semi-technical. Just because it's so fast, you know, and yeah, we really strive to push ourselves, and I feel like we've especially since joining Malignant Aura, you know, that's totally up the opposite end of the spectrum for me, Pete and I. I feel like we've become much better musicians for that.
That's an interesting irony, going from basically what someone described to me as funeral doom to this black and thrashed off. It's weird that Malignant Aura and that slower stuff complements the stuff coming out with Iron Witch.
Yeah, like, because you have to really, really pay close attention to your timing. You know, when you're playing, when you're playing fast stuff all the time, you know, if you, you know, miss a little bit or like, you know, you don't notice so much. But
it,
like,
just blends
when,
in.
When you're playing really, really slowly and on the opposite end of the spectrum, like, the slightest mistake is just huge, you know? And I feel like taking a step back and noticing on that end of the spectrum, you start to notice maybe timing issues when you're playing that fast, and you learn, maybe that's not a good way to put it, you learn how to synchronize a bit better, you know?
Yeah, because everything's so spaced out. There's so much room for everything to breathe. If you're off by a hair, it sticks out like dog's balls.
Exactly. I feel like, especially for Pete and I, like, that having that approach has made us lock in a lot more with each other.
And we were mentioning this before we started recording, but everything got done through Black Blood Audio and everything, and Pip did everything. It seems the more interviews that I do with Brisbane bands, the more you find that if there's a heavy record done in Brisbane, there's a fair chance it's been done through Black Blood. How did you guys find recording with everyone there?
Brad. Yeah, Pip's the dude. He's the man, you know, like...
It makes my drum sound better.
if you're recording heavy shit in Brisbane, like, he's, in my opinion, he's the guy to go to, you know. He's, like, everything's so chill and, I don't know, there's just a really, really good vibe, like, in the studio, like, when recording with him, you know. He's got, oh, what's his dog's name?
Yuki,
yeah. Got Yuki's hanging out with us, and, like, you know, yeah, I don't know. It's just really good vibes, really enjoyable. He's willing to try a bunch of different things. He's very, very open to suggestions, but he also kind of takes on a little bit of like a producer hat at times, and will suggest maybe, you know, even if you've been playing these songs for, like, numerous years or something, he'll come in and just sort of, I guess, he comes in with a good, I suppose, being surrounded in so much other music, he comes in with a good producer hat, with, like, a good context for suggestions.
Yeah, he came with some good suggestions. He, especially with some of the vocals, he worked with Muzz pretty tightly. I thought,
yeah,
he had some good ideas that panned out in the final product.
Talk us through some of those ideas that he came to with you, Muzz.
No, hello, Muzz. I think we've lost Muzz. Hello,
sorry, my name's
Yeah, we can tell.
You're like real blocky. your mouth didn't open when you spoke then.
Have we lost him?
We were just saying how Pip is pretty keen to experiment and bring things in
from other genres that he's worked with, and Pete was saying that he did a fair bit of work with you vocally. How did you find working with Pip?
Yeah, he's great. I like working with anyone who's really relaxed, but, like, also professional. He's got good ideas vocally, I think.
He had a few ideas for double tracking, or even the timing of some lines and stuff that he thought would sound better, and, you know, like, they... There goes my phone. and I mean, like, you know, in terms of like guitar sound and stuff, you know, we blended blended. I've got an angle power ball, which is what I used on the Malignant Horror album. Blended it with a JCM 800, and I believe as well a PV 5150. And yeah, I don't know. He's just you know, he's got a real good ear for not only you know, tones for like guitars and drums, but also for, you know, maybe changing up vocal timings, or
he's good at what he does.
He's great at what he does. Yeah, he's really like Buzz said, he's real chill but professional. So you know, you can tell he pushes you, but he doesn't, you know, he pushes you in a way that motivates you to
do better. Because I've recorded with guys before. And if you keep stuffing up,
yeah, they get frustrated.
Like, they're starting to get angry with you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they're like, "Oi, can you get this right? Or this is the umpteenth time. Or do you need a break?
You know
that kind of thing." It's like, come on, mate, doing my best. It's hard.
Where you know, like, Pip pushes you, but it doesn't feel like he's getting like annoyed. You know,
no, no, just internally.
Like that encouraging dad energy. Oh, come on.
Yeah. That's it. Like.
It's like that encouraging dad energy of, oh, come on, son, you've got this.
Yeah, it is like that. I feel like some people can feel like they're just trying to get you out of the studio. They're like, fuck, it's 5 o'clock, cunt.
The other thing that I did want to mention in regards to maybe not so much the music itself, but all of the imagery that you guys have got on the socials and even in the short little snippets that you can see on the Spotify uploads, there's a lot of war imagery. There's a lot of like conflict and that kind of stuff. Was that an approach that you guys came into? Like, to make it a derivative question, were you guys just listening to a shitload of Sodom when you were writing this stuff?
I mean, they're one of our influences for sure. But yeah, I mean, the band name in itself, you know, it kind of connotes the two like main sort of imagery influences, which is like warfare and I guess like occult sort of witchcraft, sort of stuff, you know, like the iron sort of denotes, you know, like war or tanks, specifically like tanks and stuff.
No,
and
then, Sodom,
you know, witches, obviously, like witch. And so we try to match like a, find like a, I don't know, we just like both of those things, I guess. So we try to find imagery that fits. But we've got a really big fascination with, well, I do at least, and I know Pete does. With World War One, where for me it's a bit like old world meets the mechanized, industrialized new world armies and stuff. You know, like a lot of people were still, you know, using old school the French cavalry confronting the German machine gunners and stuff. You know, like that's like brutal. And, you know, people have never seen shelling or, you know, everyone had to come up with totally new strategies sort of on the fly as everything was going, which were totally different to anything that had been seen before, you know, which resulted in obviously like trench warfare and, you know, just this.
There is a real turn of the century and sort of like entering into a new age.
Yeah, because that's what it's. What fascinates me about it is it's like the old world trying to catch up with the new world kind of thing, you know, because I guess, you know, the armies had never been industrialized and mechanized to such a degree, you know, and war had never been so much of like a, what would you say, like a machine, you know.
Doubling down on the imagery, the album artwork that you guys have got done, very much very striking in and of itself. But who actually put all that art together for you guys?
Well, we spent way longer than we probably should have looking for good art. But we found this guy. His name's Jenglot Hitam. He's from Indonesia, and we just really really loved his art style. And it blended the two themes that we sort of write lyrics about, which is the warfare and the occult sort of stuff. And yeah, we ended up deciding on, we've kind of dubbed her the Iron Witch, but, that was just, it was a piece he had for sale. We really liked it. So
it always surprises me how big and how thriving that sort of Southeast Asian heavy metal and even like hardcore scene is. Like I've seen, there was a documentary that came out a little while ago, and I know a few, in particular Brisbane bands, always make it a point to go up and do that tour through like Indonesia and Vietnam. Now that you guys have got a tie-in, are you looking at heading up that way?
Yeah, I reckon.
That'd be on the cards.
For sure. Definitely on the cards.
Mate, Muzzy with us here has done this tour that you're speaking of.
Yeah, Muzz...
He did south. Where did you go, Muzz?
Went to Java, I think. Yeah. You filled in for Caustic Attack.
I filled in vocals for Caustic Attack in Java. I chose the. It was awesome. Good luck. People like actual. That's
it. How different are those shows over there than what your bog standard shows are in Brisbane outside having like that cool shit being brought in?
I filled in vocals for Caustic Attack in Java. Did like 9 shows there, I think. It was awesome. There were people like going through actual walls at the shows. That was sick.
Well, there you go. Now you guys can bring the old Black and Thrash across there.
Yeah. The shows, they're way more DIY, it seems. So I'm not sure how far. Well, it seems like bands will travel all over the country, but there's just so many. And all the scene seems to be... At least we were playing like standard thrash, right? But every show we were playing with like hardcore and like death grind and like every mix of metal, except for there's not much power metal that I found. But otherwise, it's just like all the real heavy shit, and especially like slamming death. They fucking love it.
We were saying this before that we started recording, but you guys have just put out the self-titled record out through Gutter Prince Cabal, which is... I found out them Graveyard. How did you guys get involved with that, and how have you found working with them?
I've been chatting with Nathan mostly, but like yeah, super chill, awesome dudes. Really easy to work with. In terms of the release, we kind of self-released it digitally, and they're taking care of the physical CD, the physical release. Because we were sitting on the album for maybe about 6 months, and we hadn't really made any progress in the name of labels, so we're just sort of like, screw it, let's just do it ourselves, and chuck it on DistroKid and do all the prep, pre-release prep and stuff. But I guess instead of the usual sort of 3 month, 4 month sort of lead up, I think it was about 1 month between when we released the first single and released it, it was very much...
We wanted it out,
because we've been sitting on it for so long, and it's like, hadn't really been.
I know, it was such a quick turnaround.
Much, yeah, I didn't really hear much back. So we were just like, yep, yeah, let's just do it. Like, get it out, get it going. And then, yeah, sometime a couple of weeks after we released the. Because I made a video for releasing The Butcherist, just compiling a bunch of old war footage. And maybe about between 1 and 2 weeks after we dropped that, Nathan swung us a message and I guess was asking what we're going to do in terms of physical release. And we just went from there, just started chatting and organizing physical release. And
where are they at?
They should be finished press by Anzac Day, I believe, on the 25th of April.
Rad.
What was that?
Rad.
Yeah. But they may be ready before then. But I feel like that's a very fitting day, you know, for them to actually come out. But yeah, they're available for pre-order on our Bandcamp.
That is a fitting day.
Yeah. they're available for pre-order now through the Bandcamp, through Gutter Prince Cabal, and yeah.
So what was the reasoning for that delay, that 6-month delay between you guys finishing the record and then releasing it? Was it just trying to find a label, trying to find the right label to do it, and then by the end you guys hit the, nah, fuck it, let's just do it ourselves?
Yeah, pretty much. It was just, we hit up a few labels and didn't really, it was sort of, they had...
It wasn't for them.
So we just, we decided sort of in the middle of January that it was just taking too long to get any bites. And I don't know if
we went through all of this with Malignant.
Yeah.
And then I know from personal experience, I didn't want to sit on the album any longer than we had to. I wanted to get it out there. We're really proud of it. And it was you that suggested, let's just do it ourselves.
Yeah.
Let's just do it ourselves. We don't need anyone else. At some point we probably will, but right now let's just get the album out there. We've done all of the background work to get it, to make it happen, and Gutter Prince is helping us out. So
yeah, I guess all of late January and all of February, I was just like flat out just like, you know, researching everything I need to do for a release properly, and like, you know, building up a mailing list and building up contacts to talk to people, and just organizing everything, you know, lining up Spotify, doing the getting on playlists and all that sort of stuff, and then all the making all the marketing assets and videos and all that sort of stuff. And it was basically a full-time job.
Quite a lot goes into it.
Yeah, it was very eye-opening as to how much actually goes in. When you haven't got a process, like, there's a lot of work that goes into it, you know?
Honestly, the irony of you saying that you've done all that, and then I just opened up Facebook one day and Muzz goes, oh, here's my new band, check it out. And I was like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, so much more simple than getting out there and doing this long press junket. Dude just shares it on Facebook and I go, a fucking sick band.
Yeah, I feel like we didn't have much stuff before we dropped the music, I don't think. There wasn't long before, wasn't much time between promo and music, which is always good.
Nah, we pushed it. We wanted it out. Really, I'm proud of it.
I'm pretty happy with how the release has gone, especially considering how very rushed it all was. You know, it's not very common for it to be, you know, 1 month out from release that you're announcing the album. You know, I've been really, really happy with the response we've been getting.
Yeah.
Since release.
Very positive. Well,
it's been very
positive. Yeah, it's incredible.
Called me shit, so
That's the one thing that I was going to ask. The quick turnaround between the very first thing that popped up, the release, and to now. Was it just a case of you guys were sitting on this for too long and you thought, nah, we can't sit on this for any longer. We've got it. It rules. We need to get it out there. Let's push this as quickly as we can.
Yeah. Pretty much. And we just wanted to get it out so we can, you know,
We can move on to other things.
Once it's out, you can, you know, move on to writing new music.
Start playing shows. You can organise merch. We can do all those things, play gigs, everything. Because while we're just sitting on it, nothing's happening. There's no movement. There's no progression.
And we've had the strategy from the start that, you know, we don't want to start playing shows until we have something that we can, you know, show people when, like, if someone, you know, comes to a gig and they're like, man, that band was sick, you know, they'll have something to show someone else or that they can listen to after the show.
To reminisce.
You know, so we've taken that strategy from the start and I guess we just wanted to start gigging, start getting out there and, you know, we just felt like, you know, especially because of COVID and just shut gigs down for like 2 years, you know, that's like 2 years of extra time we've been sitting on this music that we couldn't really, you know, do much with it, you know. So it just felt like we needed to get it out, you know.
All right. a bit of a delay there, but we're good.
Nah, he was just taking it all in.
It's all good.
Yeah. That's incredible.
This kind of stuff happens. But that does lead, like, quite nicely into the next question that I was going to ask you guys is, now that the release is out, shows, what are we expecting? Are you have you got any lined up? Are you doing any sometime soon? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, we've got one lined up for...
We can't say anything yet,
but like a bit later in the year. But we're at the moment, yeah, we're trying to line up some stuff as soon as we can, really.
Yeah.
Sort of probably a couple of months out, but like as soon as we can, that'd be ideal, you know.
Mm. We do have to pick and choose though, as in Muzz doesn't live with us. In Queensland, so
I'm no longer with.
So we can't take all the shows we want, but we'll all we are going to be playing some.
Well, where are you at nowadays, Moz?
I'm down outside of Melbourne.
Oh, jeez, that's a fair trek back up.
Yeah, it sucks.
And the other thing is, as well, speaking to a few bands in and around Brisbane, you don't want to oversaturate yourself by playing too many shows, because if you play too many shows, people will go, well, no, I've seen these guys in the last month, you know. So if you like pick and choose, you kind of need to be a little bit more particular with the shows that you play. Absolutely. I suppose
I think we've learned that Malachi.
That's another thing like Pete and I have learned from Malignant is that it's really important to like be to really pick and choose your shows that you play, you know, and that I think people appreciate you more when it's a bit more, I guess, like Muzz said, you're not playing every second weekend, but just for whoever the fuck puts you on, you know, like you're just playing whatever cheap indie show, you know, or even the same venue like once a month or, you know, whatever we were doing in Malachite, you know, really getting the whole package for a show, like making it, you know, I don't want to sound douchey, but like, you know, make it an experience, you know, make the whole show like a real standout sort of thing.
Yeah, a bit more of an event.
Less
mundane.
An event. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think that's why events like Immeasurable Darkness have really picked up in the last 2 years is the fact that you know, there's bands on there that you might not get to see all that often. And then there's ones that have come out from nowhere. Like, I hadn't heard of Pestilential Shadows before that show, and I was sitting there going, these guys have been around for how fucking long? How have I missed out on this?
Yeah, they
no, I hadn't heard of them either.
We were like, they're like, you know,
cool, like
real classic, like big on the scene dudes who just hadn't played for how long had it been since they played? Like,
Chris and Jono had their fingers on the pulse.
Yeah,
I'll give them that. They know what's what.
But did they hit us up or did we hit them up? I can't remember. But
we hit them up.
Yeah.
Yeah, we say that just because we know Chris and Jono, but we didn't organise it. They did.
But yeah, I mean, like the Necrosonic thing coming up. You know,
now that you've got the release out, and you've got some. Sorry.
You gotta continue. I was gonna say like slide. Yeah, they've taken. You know, they've got Crypt and Bloody Misery going. God, like I know they've been around forever, but yeah. I think what Crypt, I saw that they had like a reunion show in like, I don't know, 2016 or 2017 or something, and I went to that, and that was sick. But I don't know if they've played since then. I guess, yeah, since COVID, like, people putting a concerted effort into, like, making a real big event, getting, you know, big bands that don't really play too often together playing again,
So we've got a handful of shows that are still under wraps at the moment. What else have you got lined up for the remainder of 2024? What's on the cards for Ironwitch?
New music. It's going to come thick and fast.
Yeah, we've...
Nameless.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're working on it right now.
Working on some new songs already. Hoping to get something out, like, as soon as possible, really. Yeah. Like, that'd be ideal within...
Faster, like, heavier, more intense.
Yeah, I feel like... The first lot of songs, like, they're pretty good, but when we were writing those, we still hadn't quite found the balance of what we wanted to do yet, where I feel like the new stuff we're working on is, yeah, it's, I think we found it. Yeah. I think it's, a bit better, especially, you know, songwriting wise and just, having the right balance of everything, you know, because we try to be pretty unique, I guess, with our, I guess, what we blend together.
Mm. We know what sounds to us like Iron Witch, so when we're writing music,
yeah,
if it doesn't have the Iron Witch touch or...
Yeah, if it doesn't have the Iron Witch factor, we've written a few other songs and, like, you know, we play them and they're all right, but then, like, we just sit there and, like, look back at them and we're like, that's not an Iron Witch song.
It's got to be super fast, it's got to be fun to play, it's got to be challenging. It's not all of those things. What are we doing?
Yeah.
Wasting our time. Not who we are.
Well, I look forward to it. I look forward to the show and I look forward to the new music coming up on the horizon. Just a bit of a side note, and it's something that I've thought about as the interview progresses. We've mentioned Malachite, we've mentioned Malignant Aura, but since you guys stopped being teenagers, have you actually ever played in a shit band? Because, like, the strike rate that I'm seeing is just incredible.
I know, I like to thanks, man.
Think about that for a second. Well, yeah, I don't know.
No
shit bands.
Yeah,
not yet.
No.
None of them made it to fruition, at least.
Yeah. I'm bands. I shit drums in some days. Shit drums. I'll put it out there. This is possible for you, Chris, if you ever hear this. Shit drums. Stop telling me how to play. Chris? Tim? But not Nine Wish. None of that. These guys let me do what I want, so thank you. Thanks, guys. Thanks for that.
No worries, mate.
I love it. Gents, thank you very much for taking some time out and having a chat to us. I really appreciate it. We've overcome the lag. We've overcome the internet nonsense. And I'll be keeping an eye out when the new stuff drops. And next time, when the debut show happens, I'll be there.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Awesome. Thanks for having us, man. Yeah,
good to talk to you.
Yeah. Awesome.
Before we send you off, though, is anything that we haven't covered, anything that you guys wanted to bring up or spruik? If people wanted to get in touch with Iron Witch, check out your music, how'd they go about doing so?
Yeah, I think our most, there's, I guess, the Bandcamp, just Iron Witch, one word. There's a British sort of stoner rock band from like 15 years ago called Iron Witch, which is two words.
The little dots.
They've got like, I checked them out on Metal Archives the other week, and they're split up for a while.
They heard us. How do we compete with this?
They can't, that's the thing.
So yeah, just the Facebook or the Instagram. Bandcamp's probably the best spot for music. Got all the regular socials, really. But probably Facebook or the Instagram. We have all the link tree.
The music's on everything, but you can order stuff off Bandcamp.
It's got, because of the DistroKid, where, it's on everything. It's on all the streaming stuff, and got it up on Bandcamp, and Bandcamp's probably the best way to go, I think. That's where you order CDs from, and we'll probably, once we get some merch happening, we'll put the merch on there as well.
And the pre-order for the physical release is coming out through Gutter Prince Cabal. Yeah. Is there a cutoff date for that?
No, it's just pre-order it until it's available, then it's just a regular order. It's $12.
Dollar Dazzler,
yeah, exactly.
I love it. Again, gents, thank you so much for taking some time out and having a chat to us. I'll let you guys know when this all goes up.
Yeah, sweet as.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it.
It's good to catch up again.